Come thou fount of every blessing. This series we're looking at every good gift and the power of thankfulness. And I appreciate that our clientele at Food Bank on a Friday, we've got a whole team that just serve up there on a Friday morning. They're the easiest mob to make coffees for. They really are. I do come prepared. I've got soy, I've got almond, I've got full cream, I've got light, I've got sugar, I've got tablet things. And when I ask them, what sort of milk would you like? They go, just milk. They're the easiest mob. Where's our coffee team this morning? Where's Harriet? You need to come up Friday morning. They're just stoked to get an unexpected cup of coffee or a latte or chai. I do chai as well, hot chocolate, and then throw in a couple of sprinkles. So for them, it's a good day. There's an article I read called Aussie Coffee Orders Get Embarrassing. And the writer would go and say, with hundreds of possibilities and options, including different types of milk, temperatures, syrups, levels of caffeine, and amount of foam, some even insist on a particular barista because they know that they do their coffee the way that they like it. Decaf, almond, vanilla, mocha with two sweeteners. In fact, that particular barista tasted it, made one up for herself and could not drink it. Another one was a large soy cappuccino with extra shot, extra shot, extra chocolate on top with extra soy froth on the side. And that's before you've even stepped into Starbucks where they have flavors that you can add and cream. The research shows that there are now more people actually coffee shaming, particularly on social media. And if they're standing behind you and having to wait because of your order, you'll probably get a message somewhere on some platform. One particular message says, if your coffee order is more than two words, you don't actually like coffee. I didn't think that was bad. You see, sorry if I've just offended half the room. I've got to try and pull it back from here on. Researchers Pasmore and Odes contend that as expectations have changed, gratitude has diminished in Western society. Notice Western society, and it's been replaced with privilege and right. Possessions and health are expectations for many people rather than considered personal blessings that are to be appreciated. They're actually expected as a done thing. Pasmore and Odes say, gratitude has for many been replaced by disappointment, anger and resentment when these expected blessings either do not appear or they disappear. I.e., as Christine read to us, in trials and difficulties of life, when we're struggling to know how to live, when we're double-minded and doubting the generosity of God. Robert Emmons, author of a book called Gratitude Works, said, it is precisely under crisis conditions when we have the most to gain by a grateful perspective on life. In the face of demoralization, gratitude has the power to energize. In the face of brokenness, gratitude has the power to heal. In the face of despair, gratitude has the power to bring hope. And I think we are far from crisis conditions. The book of James, punchy little book, five chapter letter, toward the end of the New Testament, but possibly probably one of the first books written of the New Testament. It's sometimes called the Proverbs of the Old Testament. The book of James practically and faithfully reminds Christians how to live. Very practical. He begins by acknowledging that they were experiencing difficult times, and if they weren't yet, they will be at some point. And in the context of difficult times, they were to consider it an opportunity. Did you notice the word in the read? They were to consider it an opportunity for joy. That's a hard pill to swallow. Readers today, that's a tough ask. In fact, for most of us, we would count it all joy if we were able to avoid trials. Or we would count it all joy as we exit the trials. But James says, no, in the context of your difficulties, see that as an opportunity to experience real joy. It's a bit like the way the Apostle Peter began his letter in chapter 1, verse 6. So be truly glad, there is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure difficult times for a little while. Thanks, Pete. But he's right. But it's hard to have an attitude of thankfulness in difficulty. This was no new revelation for them. And in fact, it's simply a reminder, the language there used, where he says, because you know, is literally knowing through experience. So they already know this. He's just reminding them. And so perhaps for some of you today that have journeyed long in the Christian faith, that's for you today. It's a reminder that in the context of really difficult times, it's an opportunity to understand the gifts of God and to experience real inner and deep joy. How are we to do that? Well, that's what this series is about. Four dotted over the next 6 or 7 weeks. And it's centered around verses 16 through 18 of this wonderful little punchy letter and what it means to create a culture of thankfulness and gratitude. James 1, again, 16 through 18, says, don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, watch this, out of all of creation, are his what? It's on the screen. It's not. Where's it gone? That's all right. We are his, it's all right. We are his prized possession. I said to Trev when I got here this morning, he said, I'm going to work you hard today. He said, a bit odd. We are his prized possession. Imagine that. Out of all of creation, you are God's prized possession. I can get through this week sitting in that for a bit, can't you? I reckon we can. Maybe there's something about joy there. James proclaims God as the good and perfect gift giver after clarifying earlier that sin and temptation are not his problem. So don't blame God for sin and temptation. God is not the author of evil things, but he's the author of good. Don't blame God for being tempted to sin. That has more, as Eugene Peterson in The Message, has more to do with the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust and evil. I like the way he phrases that. It's not God's problem, it's mine. It's mine. It's yours. Talking about evil, what's the worst gift that you've ever received? I asked our home group on this on Thursday night, and there was a fair bit of silence in the room. We had a couple of revealing stories, you know, that moment where the pastor and his wife become transparent. What's the worst gift you've ever received? You know, kids that may have given you a tie that you'd never be seen dead in. Or maybe that loud Hawaiian shirt that would make you look more like a MacGyver wannabe. Or maybe it's that gym subscription from your less than subtle husband or wife. What's the worst gift? But what I was really interested in is how did you respond to that when you got that really dodgy gift? And maybe you've never received a gift that was anything less than fantastic. What was your response? Oh, it's just what I wanted. Fibber. Or, it's just perfect. Nope. Yeah, one year, Robin and I decided we weren't going to give gifts to each other. We'd probably spend enough money and we had kids and stuff. So we said, we're not going to get gifts. And if I've shared this before, apologies, but it just fitted. So, but I needed a new set of roof racks. So I go put my kayak on the car, on Robin's car, which was a Subaru. So I bought her a set of roof racks for Christmas. And which was fine, and I had to wrap them up, this dirty grey box, and put it under the tree, and Robin was walking through, and she saw this box under the tree, and she snooped and saw that it was for her, and she said, oh, I thought we agreed we weren't buying gifts, but she didn't tell me that, so she went out and bought me a gift. It's a wonderful book called The Barista Bible, which is a great read, and I was very grateful, but it came to Christmas Day, and she unwrapped a present, this set of roof racks. I'm still paying for it. It wasn't ideal. This four-week series, we'll look at the gifts that God has given to us. We'll see that God is the perfect gift giver and that he's generous. And we want to cultivate gratitude in our lives and we want to be thankful for the gifts that he gives us and to know something of great joy. And at the end of each message, we'll give you a practical tool that you can take away and begin to put into practice. And in fact, as your families together sit down with your children and talk about ways that you can begin to create a culture of gratitude and thankfulness to God. And by the way, it will be good for you. I can guarantee this. If you listen to these messages and take God at his word and learn what it is to be thankful and have that attitude of gratitude, it will be good for you. I know that because even the secular researchers know that. They've written the papers. Jans Becken in 2020, gratitude has been found to be beneficial for your social well-being, emotional well-being, and psychological well-being. When we're thankful, we are nicer people to be around. We really are. And I think James would include your spiritual well-being as well. Greg and Shevins in 2021 found that gratitude has a positive connection with life satisfaction, extroversion, forgiveness, interesting, and a negative affiliation with substance abuse and neuroticism, as well as a reverse relationship between gratitude and anxiety and depression. Gratefulness and thankfulness, particularly understood in the mindfulness of what God is toward us, a generous and giving God, it is good for you. Verse 17 says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father. The statement that these gifts are from God follows on from the idea that God does not tempt us to evil. The gifts of God are contrasted with the evil springing up from our own lust and evil. And this idea of this good and perfect gifts coming from God is in the context of joy in the midst of trials and difficulties. And it's in the context of the call to maturity and faithful living. It's in the context of if you need wisdom, ask a generous God and he'll give it to you. It's in the context of a double-minded individual that is unstable in all of their ways because in their asking they are doubting the generosity of the God that they are asking. It's in the context of a rich person being humiliated because he or she and their riches that he thinks that they have cleverly accumulated will dissipate like an ice cream in the hot sun. And they'll realize that actually they have nothing other than what God gives them. It's in the context of being blessed when you remain steadfast under trial that James says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. And the same God that inspired those words through James is the same God that we celebrate today. He is still a generous, gift-giving God. So two things. First, we are called to acknowledge the goodness of God. We are called to acknowledge the goodness of God in one's life. And this is the state of gratitude where we say yes to life and all that God has provided. I love what John Ortberg says. Gratitude is the ability to experience life as a gift. It liberates us from the prison of self-preoccupation. I love the title of the book. When the game is over, it all goes back in the box. Gratitude is the ability to experience life as a gift. It liberates us from the prison of self-preoccupation. Paul says in Ephesians 1, God is seen as the giver of every spiritual blessing in Christ. Also in Acts, it talks about God who gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. You know, the reason that you have breath in your lungs today, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, is because God allows you to have breath today. We breathe. Mostly it's pretty good air down here, but we have breath in our lungs because God allows that. 1 Corinthians, Paul, he graciously gives varieties of gifts and the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The common good. The good of all. In Romans, Paul says, God did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So let's just pause. Maybe it's unusual for you to be in a place like this today. Maybe it's been a while that you've been to church. Or maybe it's simply that you're not a follower of God. You're just interested in spiritual things. So it's great that you're here. Love the fact that you're here. Encourage that. But did you know that God is interested in giving you gifts? He is. And Paul talks about the greatest gift there. All of these other things you may not either appreciate or understand. That's fine. But there's this gift that is there in the Lord Jesus Christ that is able to give you true life. And when we talk about joy that's disconnected from all our things and our stuff and our what makes us happy, where we just have joy because we have this inner peace and fulfillment that nothing else satisfies, that's found in the person of Jesus. And that's his gift for you today. If you reach out and grab hold of that and ask him, God, I want to receive this gift. I want to know forgiveness of sin. I want to know fullness of life. That's what Paul talks about here. He gave up his son for us all. He gave up Jesus. God the Father gives up his son so that we can have what? Graciously give us all things. There's nothing that we don't have from God that is not perfect and good. James 1:18, he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we out of all creation became his prized possession. So, there's a choice that we make today in this journey of thankfulness. The first one is that we choose to affirm that in all, life is good in Christ. We choose to affirm that in all, life is good in Christ. We are, out of all of creation, his prized possession. Secondly, Gratitude is recognizing the source of this goodness, not just simply all in all, life is good, but we recognize the source of this goodness, which lies in God Himself. Again, verse 17, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father. Is God Himself who does not change. So James calls upon believers to recognize the goodness in our lives and to be thankful for that. Even Jesus says that God is a great gift giver. Remember Luke 11, where it says, what father among you, this in the context of the Lord's Prayer, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who seek him? He's preempting the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts. So he turns it back to them. He said, if you know how to give, even though you're evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. We have this little joke in our house around that. Robin thinks I'm a little bit soft. We know that even though we're evil, we can give good gifts to our children. How much more will your Father in heaven? He's a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. Choose to affirm that all in all, life is good in Christ. And secondly, the source of our goodness is in God Himself. Darrell Bock says, at the foundation of all discipleship is trust in the Father's goodness. The foundation of all discipleship is trust in the Father's goodness. So, as we wrap it up this morning, not doing bad, we want to acknowledge the goodness in your life, saying yes to life and all that God has provided. Recognize that the source of this goodness is outside of yourself. It's not your capacity to be clever or to accumulate or whatever else. It's outside of ourselves. It is God Himself. So the practical tool, and just a disclaimer right up front, I really don't enjoy journaling. Anyone else not enjoy journaling? Yeah, I'm not one of those that enjoys journaling. But I will journal with you. All right, so here's the practical tool to finish off. Because creating a culture of gratitude and thankfulness means that we've got to change. And it's not I can't change, it's just that we choose not to. So there are some tools that help us to change. And one is a gratitude journal, or journaling three good things every day. And you've got to do it for a minimum of a week. All right? I'll do it with you. Three good things that help you stop taking God's good gifts for granted. So it might be, my partner made me a coffee today. Well, that's a good thing. I enjoy people making me a cup of coffee. It's nice. And my coffee is very simple. It's only two words, remember? Or it might be, my parents were happy when I made my bed. If you're still 35 and living at home, it might relate to you. Or it might simply be, work was good today. So I want you to record three good things that make you appreciative and thankful of what God brings into your life. And it might take 10 minutes. For me, it's better at the end of the day. I don't have much to be thankful for at the start. Haven't really done much yet. So at the end of the day, But here's the other thing I want you to do in that. Write down exactly what happened with some detail, not just Robin made me a nice cup of coffee. I want some detail around that, such as where you were or who said what and what happened. Just write it down. And secondly, write down your emotions, because that means you're engaging in it on another level. How did it make you feel? So you're becoming more self-aware around what's going on inside with that good thing that took place. And the third one, then I want you to write, after you've done your three, I want you to write a short prayer of thankfulness to God. A short prayer of thankfulness for the big and the small, that which was and that which may be yet to be. So can you do that for me? I will sign off on this. I will do it 7 days this week. I hate journaling though. And three good things that help you to embrace the goodness of God. All in all, life is good in Christ. God is the source of every good gift. I'm going to choose to be thankful. And in that, I will be a healthier individual and I was going to use the word better. Better is probably not a good word. It will help me be a better follower of Jesus because God is gracious in all things. So those three things. Write down exactly what happened with some detail. Include how it made you feel and then write out a short prayer. And by the way, this morning, go easy on the baristas. All right? Let's pray. Father, I just pause to think of the faces in the room today and the things that are going on in their life and some that aren't in the room today that are going through trials. And it's difficult. I think of some of the crew that we hang out with at Friday morning up at Food Bank and sometimes we have some wins. The other week we were able to put some finances up and get somebody into a house because they didn't have one. There's lots of those. But they're not always good outcomes that we have. So while we talk about the opportunity of joy in trials, for some that's a tough lesson this morning. So I just pray your grace and your mercy. Pray also, Father, that for your forgiveness. We're so rich and our interest rates are going up and the prices of food are going up and petrol's going up and all of that. It's for us sometimes it's just around all the cost of living stuff. Just puts pressure. And yet, I can't believe how many choices of bread I have to choose when I walk into a supermarket. It's not just a loaf, it's like Uber loaves. And we are so rich and wealthy and you're generous to our land and we are safe and it's good. And so I pray, Father, in a sense, a collective forgiveness for those times when we just take for granted the things that we have. And we just want to lean in today to your grace in Jesus Christ, who for some here today, that's a new concept, what it is to receive a gift from God through Jesus. That's the offer of real life. We use the word salvation, where God takes our darkness and replaces it with the light of His Son and His love, and we become new. We celebrate that gift today, Father. And for those that is something that you would love for that and to experience that, I pray that you would reach out today to someone, a friend. Reach out to God yourself. Come down the front and have someone pray with you, talk with you, catch up for, yes, maybe a coffee during the week and explain the love of Jesus. But today we want to acknowledge, Father, the goodness of God and all that you are in the Lord Jesus Christ toward us. Amen.